Breaking news tonight, under investigation, police weighing charges against Donald Trump and his campaign and whether they incited a riot at a rally. Dramatic developments hours from the polls opening in critical states. Race against time. Catastrophic flooding destroys thousands of homes. Tonight, a major emergency effort to save entire towns. American ISIS surrenders. A shocking moment caught on camera in Iraq as a Virginia man turns himself in. His parents thought he was on vacation. Miracle survivor, the 14-year-old girl who squeezed her mother's hand right as they were preparing to say goodbye. Wait till you see her now. And hidden migraine risk. Why so many women are getting them. Doctors say knowing the reason is a key to fighting them. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. It's often said that words matter, and tonight it's Donald Trump's words under scrutiny as part of a criminal investigation by sheriff's officials in North Carolina. NBC News has confirmed that authorities are looking at whether Trump or his campaign incited a supporter to attack a protester at a rally in Cumberland County last week. Violent clashes between Trump supporters and protesters have become more frequent, reaching a new level on Friday night in Chicago when bloody fights broke out after a Trump rally was abruptly canceled. Let's start tonight with NBC's Katie Turr.
Donald Trump facing an investigation tonight as a North Carolina sheriff's office confirms it is looking at whether statements made by the candidate constituted inciting a riot after an African-American man was sucker punched at a rally by a Trump supporter in Fayetteville last week. The attacker, a 78-year-old white man, also threatened to kill the protester.
The next time we see him, we might have to kill him.
Trump telling NBC News he's considering legal help for the attacker.
I've actually instructed my people to look into it, yes.
The temperature surrounding Trump's campaign only getting hotter.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, racist Trump has got to go. Go, go,
go. Anger outside Trump rallies. Boiling over inside. Trump fired up.
Get him out of here.
And his surrogates spoiling for a fight.
We don't have time for is all that petty, punk, little thuggery stuff that's been going on with these quote-unquote protesters.
All of the unease today coming on the heels of ugly incidents over the weekend in Chicago.
Go to Auschwitz.
Along with anti-Semitism in Cleveland and police clashes in Kansas City. Trump's supporters are undeterred.
Politicians that have been elected have forgotten who have got us there.
The campaign trail hot under the collar, a microcosm of the electorate. NBC News' latest exit polling from the most recent primary shows Trump voters are angry with Washington, feel betrayed by the Republican Party, and want the next president to be an outsider.
Whenever there is a moment in the campaign where he's either falling out of the headlines or the headlines aren't quite as favorable to him, he's always able to stir up some kind of controversy to keep his name back in the news.
The Trump campaign just responded to the Cumberland County Sheriff saying that the Fayetteville Arena was rented by the campaign and paid for by the campaign for a private event and that the protesters were just there to agitate. Lester.
Katie Turr, thank you. Trump is rallying support this evening in Ohio on the eve of what is shaping up to be another Super Tuesday. Winning Ohio is key to Trump's breakout strategy. But Ohio Governor John Kasich, also rallying there tonight, leads the polls in his home state and is positioned to keep the Republican race in play, while the Democrats, in a battle of their own, are nonetheless focused on Donald Trump. We've got all sides covered, beginning with NBC's Peter Alexander. Peter?
Lester, good evening to you. Ohio Governor John Kasich is still looking for his first win in more than two dozen tries this campaign. His approval rating in his home state among Ohio Republicans is close to 80%, but he'll need to translate that into a victory tomorrow night to stay alive and to slow Donald Trump's trajectory toward the nomination. It's March Madness for Republicans.
The people that are supporters of Donald Trump want to see America be great again. That's what it is.
On Team Trump, Chris Christie and Sarah Palin, who's now heading back to Alaska. Her husband, Todd, seriously injured in a snowmobile accident.
Thank you guys for your prayers for my husband.
Here in Battleground, Ohio, Governor John Kasich with 2012 nominee Mitt Romney.
Unlike the other people running,
He has a real track record.
Trump crushing the competition in Florida, Marco Rubio's home state.
Tomorrow is a choice between optimism and fear.
But in the Buckeye state, Kasich's clinging to a small lead. He's never lost an election here.
Why is it still neck and neck with Donald Trump here?
I don't think it is neck and neck. I think we're ahead and we're going to win tomorrow.
His challenge to prove he's not just popular, but viable.
A lot of voters don't want to waste their votes. They don't want to cast a vote for somebody they think can't win.
Ted Cruz today taking a swipe at Trump's bluster.
If, for example, he were to go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, I would not be willing to support Donald Trump.
Out today, an ad by an anti-Trump group highlighting the billionaire's disparaging comments about women.
Bimbo, dog, fat pig. Real quotes from Donald Trump.
But it's all about the delegate count. If Trump sweeps Florida and Ohio, he'll extend his commanding lead. But if he loses Ohio, he has to win 60% of the remaining delegates to clinch the Republican nomination. Peter Alexander, NBC News, Westerville, Ohio.
I'm Casey Hunt. Democrats unleashing on Donald Trump today at an MSNBC town hall.
When you are inciting mob violence, which is what Trump is doing, and people remember mob violence that led to lynching.
This guy's a pathological liar. It's very hard to fact check them because he never has any facts.
Sanders' criticism part of a calculated strategy after the Republican frontrunner started name-checking Sanders at rallies.
Bernie, our communist friend.
Bernie Sanders is the strongest candidate in the general election against Donald Trump. I think Hillary Clinton has a number of flaws as a candidate, which Trump will be able to exploit.
Both Sanders and Clinton on a mad dash before tomorrow's showdown, where the big prize will be Ohio.
Winning Ohio would be huge for the Sanders campaign, just like winning Michigan was. It provides enthusiasm for his supporters and, more importantly, money for his campaign to continue.
It's also a test to see if Clinton can make inroads with young voters.
As millennials, your voice is important.
SNL mocking her attempts to appeal to them by sounding more like Sanders.
You're angry, and I'm angry too, because the top 10% of the top 1% control 90% of the wealth in this country.
But Clinton might have the last laugh if she holds on to her commanding delegate lead. Casey Hunt, NBC News, Charlotte, North Carolina.
At this hour, millions across the South are bracing for more waves of devastating flooding after nearly a week of relentless rain and storms that left six dead and forced thousands to evacuate their homes. Some communities now overrun by catastrophic floodwaters. And as NBC's Miguel Almaguer reports, it's a frantic race against the clock to save others.
Tonight, the town of Deweyville, Texas, is surrounded by rising water. 1,200 ordered to evacuate here, but some refusing to leave. The only way in or out now by boat or air.
You think you can, outlast Mother Nature, but you can't.
With many homes already swamped, cars submerged, and businesses lost, the nearby Sabine River could crest tomorrow, promising to swallow what's not underwater yet.
A tornado on the ground.
This weekend, millions face tornado and hammering hail in Arkansas. In Ponchatoula, Lloyd and Ruby Sands, in their 80s, have lost a lifetime of memories.
Water got about, I think, a foot deep. Lots of mud from the water coming in. Really gross.
Their daughter, Pam, says the couple will have to start all over.
They do not have flood insurance.
In Louisiana, 5,000 homes are waterlogged. Federal disaster declared by the president across much of this region. The South has been battered for days. Historic flooding wiped out neighborhoods, roads, and damaged bridges. More than 4,200 rescued in this state alone. Tonight, they're raising the emergency levees. But will they hold? Back in Texas, a slow-motion disaster. Deweyville is still losing ground.
Tonight, I'm standing on what should be a grassy knoll next to a busy street, but as you can see, this area is completely swamped. Those homes behind me already have significant damage, but if the flooding forecast holds true, the water level here would rise another 4 feet, way above my head. Lester, the damage here has already been historic, but if the flooding forecast holds true, it would be catastrophic. Lester? All right, Miguel, thank you. Dozens of people are injured, some critically, after an Amtrak commuter train suddenly flew off the tracks in the dark of night, and there are growing concerns about what may have happened before that crash, something based on something the engineer saw. NBC's Blake McCoy has late details.
Investigators on the ground in Kansas trying to piece together what caused this terrifying ride.
an Amtrak train derailing, sending passengers and their belongings flying.
Just felt the jolt. We stopped in a big hurry. A lot of brake smoke.
It started tipping over. You could see people falling. Like, they was going around like rag dogs. It was like a nightmare come true.
Antonio Taylor suffered extensive bruising to his back. He was one of 32 people sent to the hospital, two with critical injuries. The train heading from Los Angeles to Chicago, derailing just after midnight, 20 miles outside of Dodge City, Kansas.
The track is all just chewed up.
Despite several recent high-profile derailments from New York City to Philadelphia to Northern California just last week, U.S. passenger train derailments are actually down in recent years, from 90 in 2006 to 65 last year. Back in Kansas, NTSB investigators say there may have been a problem with the track causing the engineer to slam the emergency brake.
That was probably responsible for the train derailment not being any worse than it was.
Passengers today thankful to be alive. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Chicago.
An American who traveled overseas to allegedly fight for ISIS has been captured in Iraq. Kurdish fighters say he was trying to flee ISIS when he stumbled into Kurdish-held territory. It was all news to the man's family back here in the States, who say they were shocked when they learned what he'd been up to. We get more from NBC News chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel.
This, according to Kurdish fighters, is video of the moment after an ISIS deserter surrendered himself to them. When they asked him where he was from, he said simply, United States.
Where are you from? United States.
The Kurds say they found this Virginia driver's license on 26-year-old Mohammed Jamal Quais. His uncle told NBC News the family thought he was on vacation in Europe. A Kurdish news agency reported that Quais crossed the Turkish border a few months ago and joined ISIS. When the Kurds asked where he'd been, he answered,
Mosul.
Mosul, now an ISIS stronghold in Iraq. Last week, this man, who said he's an ISIS defector, provided NBC News with a cache of documents he claimed he stole from the group. The documents show that foreign fighters have to obtain permission to leave, with each request carefully logged in these forms. ISIS may be starting to lose its grip on its territory. Last week, a U.S. official said ISIS had retreated from 1,000 square miles. Both the leaking of information and today's bizarre desertion show that ISIS may be cracking under the pressure from its many enemies. A U.S. law enforcement official said Quais was apparently not in a U.S. database of suspected ISIS members who've traveled overseas. In other words, they didn't know he'd gone to fight with ISIS until he got caught trying to sneak out. Lester?
Richard Engel tonight. A surprising announcement today from Russian President Vladimir Putin, who says he's withdrawing most of Russia's troops from Syria. He claims their mission has been accomplished. Putin sent forces in October with the stated priority of attacking ISIS. But U.S. officials claim that Russian airstrikes were actually targeting rebels seeking to overthrow Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad, a Russian ally. There is encouraging news about the youngest survivor from that deadly shooting rampage allegedly carried out by an Uber driver in Michigan last month. The teen's doctors and her family feared they had lost her. But now, as our Rahema Ellis tells us, she is making a miraculous recovery.
It's the first time we've seen 14-year-old Abigail cough since she was shot in the head, now smiling with her younger sister at a rehab center.
Abigail is amazing. She progresses tremendously every day.
Just 3 weeks ago, doctors had pronounced Abby dead, but her mother didn't give up hope.
I said, baby, if you're in there and if you can hear me, I said, just let me know. And within a few minutes after that, I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, her hand just slightly went like that.
I'm at the Kalamazoo Cracker Barrel, and there's been gunshots in the car.
Today, police released 911 calls and dash cam video from the night when Abby was shot, allegedly by 45-year-old Jason Dalton, then an Uber driver. Six people were killed and two injured, including Abby. Tiana Carruthers had shielded children at a playground. This call recorded by a bystander comforting her.
Please don't move. They coming, okay? Please don't move. We got the kids. Please don't move.
Dalton told police he was being controlled by the Uber app. He's undergoing a psychiatric evaluation. On Sunday, Abby whispered to her parents that she loves them.
It's overwhelming when you hear your daughter say that when you don't think you're ever going to hear her voice.
Her parents say Abby is a fighter, still here because she's got a lot left to do. Rahima Ellis, NBC News.
Still ahead here tonight, women and migraines. The critical time when women may face a growing risk of these debilitating headaches and the connection doctors can often miss. Also, over 60 million views and counting, the pipe-sized basketball phenomenon with moves that would make even some of the pros jealous. We're back now with new insights into migraines, something tens of millions of American women suffer from every year. Three times as many women as men. Now doctors are learning more about when a lot of women are most at risk and why their symptoms may go undiagnosed. Here's NBC's Ann Thompson.
Lori Dromrick is an energetic problem solver. But in her late 40s, this life coach faced a challenge even she couldn't manage. Migraine headaches, as many as 23 a month.
Like basically a claw was gouging out my eye. How did you function? I didn't. It was horrible. It was like I didn't have my life.
Dromrick is one of a growing number of women reporting more migraines as they age. A new study says the frequency of these headaches increases during early menopause, affecting more than 12% of those women.
It has to do with fluctuation of hormones. When they change rapidly, they go up and they go down, they go up and they go down again. This will trigger more frequent headaches.
Often women and their doctors don't make the connection.
Open your eyes.
Because women don't realize they're in early menopause with its laundry list of symptoms, including hot flashes, irregular periods, and anxiety.
Is this problem all in a woman's head?
No, but I think often women are made to feel that way, which is probably why they don't like to talk about it.
Dr. Ilani says if you're not taken seriously, find a specialist who treats older women and headaches.
Make a muscle.
Dromrick went to five different doctors and tried more than a dozen medications before she found relief.
It's wonderful. I have my life back.
Once again, able to help other people solve their problems now that hers is under control. Ann Thompson, NBC News, Washington.
We're back in a moment with a special command performance at the White House of the hottest musical on Broadway. Maryland police say three brothers planned and recorded a deadly ambush on a police station yesterday. Investigators released images of one of the suspects shooting at passing vehicles as a shootout erupted. Officer Ja'Kai Colson was killed. Police just announced today that his death was from friendly fire as officers responded to the firefight. Police also say the suspect intended to die during the shootout, but he and his brothers are now in custody. The Great White Way came to the White House today as the First Lady welcomed the cast of the Broadway smash hit Hamilton for a student workshop, answer questions, and just a short time ago, a performance of the show's opening number for the First Family and a lot of excited fans watching live on the web. For tonight at least, the East Room, not the Oval Office, was the room where it happens. When we come back, follow the bouncing ball if you can, the young dribbling dynamo. He's amazed tens of millions. Finally, tonight, tens of millions have been wowed by her on social media, a viral sensation with the kind of basketball moves that would take many a lifetime to perfect. But incredibly, she's only 6 years old. And as our Ron Mott reports, she can dribble circles around grown-ups.
While many kids her age have soft and cuddly bedmates of the stuffed variety, 6-year-old Jillie Emanuel dozes off with hoop dreams beside the family boxer Tyson.
You better get up.
And wakes up ready to put a bounce in her step, especially on game day. Breakfast, ponytail, uniform, shoes. Time to impress. Jalia's a dribbling dynamo. Hand-eye coordination rarely seen in someone so young and this close to the ground. Her online videos captivating people the world over. More than 60 million views.
Now, are you shocked by this?
Amazed. I'm shocked. I mean, we didn't know it was going to blow up like this.
Let's go, Nick.
Her father, Javon, is more than just a proud parent.
You ready?
He's part drill sergeant.
Dribble the ball over there. Pass the ball.
Guidance counselor.
Good defense, y'all.
The swagger, well, that's all hers.
How much time do you put in?
A lot.
Do you skip any days?
No days off, baby.
Dad and Mom Tracy first discovered Jalia's interest in the sport when she was just one, barely walking. Ever since, basketball is usually never more than an arm's length away.
Now she records the games now on DVR. She recorded it, and when she lays down to go to sleep, she watched the games.
A man nicknamed King James is her favorite player. She recently scored an invite to meet basketball royalty.
What do you learn from, like, LeBron? What do you like about his game?
He does it correctly, and he dunks it.
A first grader looking every bit the game's next queen on a throne of her own,
okay,
in command
right there,
of her court. Ron Mott, NBC News, Belle Chasse, Louisiana.
Oh, goodness.
Shoot, she scores. That's going to do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt for all of us at NBC News. Thanks for watching, and good night.